Well, welcome everyone. I'm very delighted to be here. Thank you for the committee for selecting my paper to present. And welcome to Chicago. I recently joined UIC, and this is a wonderful place, and hopefully everyone had a chance to enjoy the warmer weather that we have temporarily. Before I joined UIC, I was a faculty at Boston University, and I was also an adjunct researcher at the Veterans Healthcare System in Boston and Bedford. And during my time in Boston, I realized that there's a network of great researchers across the VA, because we have a really great VA system. And my collaborator, Hirsch Nag, is located in the VA healthcare system in Greater Los Angeles. So the project I'm going to showcase today is a specific project that we've worked on together, looking at HIV rapid testing in the VA primary care setting and also in the emergency department. I specifically helped design the cost analysis of the project, and he was the project manager who ran the study in terms of getting the training of the nurses to perform the HIV rapid testing. What I find to be very important as a part of implementation of any type of program is to consider the financial impact from the consumer or from the person or the agency that's actually utilizing the program. So this perspective that I'm going to show you is to look at it not from the researcher's perspective, because oftentimes that's the analysis that we tend to conduct, right? Well, how much does this project cost, or who are the personnel and the researcher? So it's the flip side, to look at, well, if a program is, or if an agency or an institution is interested in implementing a program, your program that you're proposing, how do you make sure that that agency is going to self-sustain that program, right, without your grants, without the research funds? And those are very important things to consider when you are designing these projects. The VA healthcare system is a very unique system where they are divided in VISNs. So it stands for VISN, which stands for Veterans Integrative Service Network. And in order to have different hospitals within a region to communicate relatively to serve the veterans in that population, they are divided into 23 VISNs. So you notice VISN 1 is just located on the upper right side, encompasses Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Boston, Connecticut, Rhode Island. So when you're working or when you are in collaboration or working at a VISN 1, they often refer to those states then. And if you're looking at VISN 22, which is in California, it's only the lower half of California because the population is so huge and you're serving the veterans there. So the VISN 22 encompasses parts of the lower part of California, and VISN 21 is the northern part of California. And the VISNs are separated the numbering of the VISNs are based on when the VA hospital systems first began. So if you notice, it starts from one from the north, New England, and then starts to migrate towards the middle, towards the west side. $1.2 million people are living with HIV in the U.S., and a third of them are unaware of the status. Specifically in the VA, 1 in 250 veterans are living with HIV. So I'm going to focus on this specific population. So at the VA, it's been known to be a primary source for providing healthcare services, medical services. But there's actually a branch within the VA healthcare system which focuses on health services research and development. And a lot of the projects that we worked on is funded through this specific department in the VA. The cost analysis is very important, specifically in a resource-limited setting, because it's very helpful to evaluate the cost of implementation for feasibility and sustainability. In this particular project, we looked at a gross costing of key parameters for stakeholders. We specifically looked at the initial launch phase of training and the monthly feedback report from different sites, the cost of the HIV kits, and the personnel time that was consumed at the different locations. Our specific project was really focused on driving change by giving nurses the initiative and the training to offer testing, and by connecting with the veterans that are locally in the vicinity that they were caring for. And one thing to specifically note is in this project, there was a policy change. So it makes these projects very interesting, and this the reality of what happens in the real world is you could be conducting a research study, everything is controlled, but midway of a project, there was a policy change from the DC office, and it's interesting to see how this may influence a program, specifically the findings, and actually it worked in our favor. So the change in HIV testing policy, counseling policy, was changed from having written consent to a verbal consent, which then impacted the time of testing, specifically the reduction of costs. I'm going to showcase two studies that we looked at in two different settings, the primary care and also in the ED. I'm going to focus on the cost analysis behind both of these projects. So first we're going to talk over about the primary care. We first evaluated the Nurse Initiative HIV rapid testing campaign in the VA, specifically that was conducted in VISN 22 in Greater Los Angeles, which is southern part of California. Then we quantitatively analyzed the first 5 years of this program at the emergency department and also at the primary care unit. And then we conducted a comparative cost analysis of implementation. Within the VA, within the Department of Health Services Research and Development, there are different subgroups that are identified as Quality Enhancement Research Initiative, which is called QERI. So there's QERI for HIV, QERI for hepatitis, QERI for diabetes. So there's different selected subgroups. And each subgroup are researchers that could be from all the different VISNs. And if you notice, there was about 23 VISNs all over the United States. So even though I was in VISN 1, I was part of the QERI HIV group. And it's a headquarter in Greater Los Angeles. The specific study team, a part of this project, was a physician, a nurse, social scientist, economist, a health science research assistant. We worked closely with the ED physician at the center. So there's the project team, and then there's the personnel at the institution that's going to be using the program, and the nurse. We highlighted the use of oral quick HIV rapid testing as a way to accommodate the needle phobia that many of the veterans may have. It's very rapid in the sense that it's 20 minutes from test to results. It's very flexible because it's approved for oral floor, fluid, plasma, it could be a finger stick, as opposed to having to draw blood. The accuracy has shown to be greater than 99%. With agreement with the confirmatory testing Western blot, and it's very simple and that it's easy to handle. We specifically highlight the fact that this is a very good tool because in our subsequent studies, we actually took this similar model and we actually went to homeless shelters. So this showcased that sometimes you may have a very good program, the personnel is very interested, but if you don't have the tool that's going to be flexible, that could be adaptable to different settings, thinking about where are veterans, they're either at the hospital or homeless shelters or in different places. So what are ways that we can reach out to them that can help break down the barriers? The first step of our program was to get to get the nurses to be certified HIV rapid test administrators. It first encompassed there was a part one and part two. Part one encompassed a 2 90-minute sessions in service. We provide HIV education, and not just about the test itself and what HIV is, the virology behind it, but the communication skills. Like, how do you approach a veteran about HIV testing in a very safe environment? So we went over those skills. Techniques for effective proposing HIV testing, pre-test counseling, informed consent, and from a technical perspective is how to store the test, the test administration, interpretation of the test, how to dispose of the test kit, and also to conduct the post-test counseling. The part two is the quality control analysis, procedure, so that the nurses knew how to adjust for any troubleshooting. And then the training at the end of the session included a simulated test outcome, so the health service scientists would oversee and survey how the nurses were interpreting the results. So that's the training program for the nurses to get certified. The actual implementation of the program first began with a pre-launch planning. So it's like the 6 hours of prior to even launching is to connect with the nurses, the stakeholders, the champions in a local center that you're hoping to implement and get their buy-in, to know who are the people that you really need to emphasize to talk to. And then the second is then to initiate the nurse-initiated screening training, which is the 90-minute session, and then have them practice the pre-test and post-test counseling. And we periodically checked in during the launch phase, which is like the first month, after the first couple weeks after we launched it. You know, before the pre-launch, there was the launch and then the training, and within that period, we had this periodic check-in time. But after that particular time, we wanted to make sure that this is a self-sustaining program so that the nurses at these different centers had ownership. This is their program, that they were certified, and now they can share this information with their colleagues at the workplace. And if the other nurses were interested, they can come back to us and we can launch this program and get them certified again. A different component to our program was that this certification was also part of a telemedicine platform. So you can imagine that once we launched this, if more nurses were interested, we could implement this wherever they are. So if some nurse was interested in VISN 1, which is in the North New England side, and we were launching in Greater Los Angeles, we've already developed a platform that we anticipate how do we keep this program sustainable and cost efficient. This is a graph to show the results of the HIV test in the primary care clinic, where where you can see from the axis is the quarter. So what we looked at is for 20 quarters. So that's over a period of 5 years. And then on the x-axis is the numbers of tests administrated. So the first couple quarters, it was a huge launch because that's what everyone was very interested in the test, but then we had a short lag. But then once it got to around quarter 8, we started to see the peak. And we went back to our data and we tried to look back, well, what was it that happened during that time? Well, during that time in 2009 was when the Washington, D.C. VA department had made the policy change where that you no longer need informed consent. So informed consent used to take about 5 minutes for the nurse to talk to the patient, and it could last up to 20 minutes based on the pretest counseling, and then if the veterans had more questions, they may actually go back and not do the test. So there was a lot of back and forth. But once the policy came in place, verbal consent took less than 1 minute. So we actually went back and did a time and motion survey with nurses and physicians. Took less than a minute because it became more of an opt-out. And they said, would you like to get an HIV test? And as long as they verbally say, all right, that's fine. And then they proceed with the test then. With this policy change and with this nurse initiative program, we see an increase in testing administrators. And with our regression analysis, we show that quarterly increase about 2.6 additional tests per quarter over this time frame. We then went back to our data to look at, well, how much does this actually cost a program to implement this? Right, what's the implementation program cost? And we then broke it down to the cost of the HIV testing kit, the personnel time, and the average cost per test. So what we noticed is that the 1 to 4 quarters was about $5,000 that the institution that was taking on this program incurred. And there was a slight decrease because there was just less tests being administrative because there was that lag period. But once the policy of moving toward verbal consent was in place, we started to see there was an increase of tests being administrative, and the cost of the program was roughly about $5,000. And as you look at quarter 9 to 12, quarter 13 to 15, and 16 to 20, it was more or less about $5,000. And this is considered to be very cost efficient that they're able, a program in a facility, in primary care unit, is able to take on. Specifically, we did some estimates to look at, well, how much did this cost if they changed our program? So we estimated that it would cost about $3.75 for a 5-minute consent to about less than $1 for 1-minute consent. So over time, you think about nurses and then volumes of people that are going to be interacting, these dollars would add up then. So in conclusion, a cyclical pattern of implementation costs that healthcare managers allows them to anticipate budget allocation. We show that increase of HIV testing among healthcare provider is most optimal when there's a first buy-in. So we saw that the pre-launch phase, by having people talking with champions, that you can have plant seeds in the local areas, is another way to get quicker buy-in. There was uptake of HIV testing by new patients, and additional testing occurred over time. The second study is a piggyback to the study that we just did, which is the primary care, is now looking at the ED. So we did a similar training that I talked about, which is 2 90-minute sessions, and they get certified, and then they get the and then the part two was the quality control technical training. So here, with the same graph, similarly, is we see a similar pattern as well. There was an initial excitement about the program, there was a lot of tests, but then we started to see a drop. But then again, around quarter nine, we start to see that increase again. And this is the time period where informed consent was no longer needed and that verbal consent was sufficient. On average, here at the ED, we show that there was about 3.5 additional tests conducted per quarter. Here we show that the cost overall compared to urgent care and ED was about $5,000 compared to about $18,000 during this time. And what we did was we separated between the period of where there was written consent compared to verbal consent. And you can see that because of the change in policy, that helped facilitate nurses to offer these tests just through a verbal consent. And you can see there's an increase of cost. But the cost seems to be within reasonable of other types of programs being implemented at the VA. So future directions is that our study that was conducted looking at the VISN in Los Angeles, we hope to expand to other VISNs because the VA network, more or less all the VISNs function very similarly with maybe slight little differences, but they all have the medical records that's connected to a central system. The implementation strategy that I presented, which is about the pre-launch, the launch, the buy-in, and having a cost-effective analysis, a cost analysis as part of the project to help healthcare managers at the facilities to understand and kind of make some projection that, oh, this program is only an extra $5,000 a quarter. I could afford that, right? So they have some numbers that in back of their head and they can budget accordingly. So this project that we looked at in terms of evaluating the implementation strategy could be applicable for other routine testing. I know that our other co-speakers talked about hepatitis C, so this could be a very similar program that we could have these nurse-initiated hepatitis C screening programs where they get certified, and these could also go for other types of routine testing like diabetes for chronic diseases. That's actually currently being considered at the VA. And we can also consider this project to be applicable for other types of non-VA healthcare centers. So I thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions from our Q&A.